There's something for all ages at this event, so please plan to attend. Next Sunday, there is a Launch with the Pastor event at Room 202 for those who are interested in membership at Mountain View. The Books at Lunch Bunch meets on March 21st. Also, the Solos will be meeting at Village Tavern on April 3rd. Please see more details in the bulletin for these events. We would like to invite all members of the congregation to join the chancel choir in forming a festival choir to sing at worship on Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, and Easter Sunday. Practice is on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Contact Steve Burchard for more details. And now please greet each other with a handshake or an embrace and the words, "May the peace of God be with you."
Good morning. If you would please join in your congregational introit, we have come at Christ's own bidding.
Stand for our call to worship. God is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Day after day, we seek God's face and the assurance of God's holy love. One thing we ask of God,
that we may live in God's dwelling place all the days of our life, and never cease to behold the beauty of God's home.
Beloved of God, enter this worship in thanksgiving, for God is among and within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. be seated, and I'll invite the kids to come forward in all your glorious green, etc. They say some folks wear green, some folks wear orange. We could dress in purple Lent colors. I mean, really, however you came is just right. So I see a lot of you have clovers and shamrocks on, and I wanted to ask you about a really big word. Have you guys heard the word Trinity before? Trinity. You have. Can you recall what it means? No. Okay. We're going to break down the word just to get a little bit of idea. Who has heard of a tricycle? Yes? Okay. How many wheels on a tricycle?
Three.
How about a triangle? How many edges on a triangle? Three. Okay, so Trinity. Tri is at the beginning of Trinity, so it means there's three. How many of you have heard of St. Patrick? Yes, okay. Well, there is this guy named St. Patrick. He was actually a bishop, which is a fancy word of saying someone who goes and talks about God. And he lived in England, but he went all the way up to Ireland in the 5th century. This was like 1,500 years ago, long, long time ago. When he was a kid, when he was about 16 years old, he had been captured and imprisoned, and he lived in Ireland as a prisoner for about 6 years, and all he did was pray during that time. So after he became a bishop, he went back to Ireland and he said, you know, I want to teach these people about God and God's love and faith and really hard words like Trinity. So he did that. And he took simple things that were in Ireland to help him teach, including the shamrock, like what Julia has on, and Eleanor. And here's how. In the Trinity, this is the idea that God is three persons in one. That's a wild idea, okay? We know these names by God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we might hear about them in the ways, what they do. So God, the Creator, and Jesus, the Savior, and then the Holy Spirit as a guide. Now, how many of you have prayed before? Yes, excellent. How many of you have prayed the Lord's Prayer? It starts, our Father. So that's who. You got it, man. You got it. All right. So another way we know these three persons is by the names we pray to. So Father, Son, and I'm going to say Holy Ghost. Okay. Okay. Whew. This is a lot of, you feel like you're at school again? All right. Well, here we go. So the Trinity is made up of three, and St. Patrick wants us to know that these three persons all work together. Jesus is informed by God and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is informed by Jesus and God is informed by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So he used the clover, and I'll show you how. We start at God, we're informed by Jesus, we go over to the Holy Spirit, we come back to God. Pretty cool, huh? We could also go the other way. God is informed by the Holy Spirit, who's informed by Jesus, who's informed by God. And that's the clover. And that's how, or the shamrock, I should say. And that's how St. Patrick taught about this really big idea that three persons are one and that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are working together. Yes. The four-leaf clover includes us as well. Okay? So, we're not part of the Trinity, but we're going to say Trinity plus us. You like that? All right. It's the lucky one, right? So, I want you to remember today, as you celebrate St. Patrick, wear your green, wear your shamrock, remember that it represents something really awesome, which is that God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit, they are friends that work together, and they can only do their best and be and love their best in all of these forms. And I think you're right on to say we need a four-leaf clover to include us as well. So let's remember that, and let's pray together. Dear God and Jesus and Holy Spirit, dear God, Jesus and Holy Spirit, you're a great Trinity. Thank you for modeling how to work together and be love in the world. Help us remember that we can work with you in this love. In your thanks for loving us, God. We love you. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can head to Sunday school. So I'm going to leave this up so you have a lesson to work on all morning. Hopefully it won't be too overwhelming. But it is a way in which we live out our daily lives together. We come to our time of prayers today, wanting to lift up the joys and concerns that we have, and then also work out our spiritual practice. So let me ask, what are the things that are on your hearts that you would share with your community today? We lift up the people in New Zealand and our world in the midst of violence. Yes, Sharon. Brilliant. Welcome, Uncle. That's great. Others that you would share. I found out this morning that Susie Burley's aunt, Janie, passed away. She was 92 years young, and she will be celebrated, so keep Susie in your prayers and her family. Yes. Who's counting? Great. So Ryan's grandmother turned 90 plus something yesterday, so that's great. Yes, Justin.
My grandmother,
I'm sorry to hear that. Goodness. So Justin's grandmother passed away last week. She was 99, and then a friend at the age of 42 passed away of cancer. So we hold you dearly in our hearts and those families. Yes, Michael Lee.
My brother's competing in the state meet today.
Woo woo! Oh, thank you. We lift up Nicholas, who is competing in the gymnastics state meet. Do you remember where it is located? Nice. It's in his home gym in Lafayette at extreme altitude. So prayers for great work for Nicholas. Yes, Bonnie?
So our friend Tim, who we mentioned last week with lung cancer, is in surgery right now.
Okay. Tim, who had lung cancer, is in surgery right now. So we lift up Tim. Thank you. Thank you for sharing these out loud, and I recognize that there's lots on our hearts and minds that we're not able to share out loud. And that brings us to our spiritual practice today, which is integration. Neurologists talk about how our mind is not just set from the moment we're born, but in fact has neuroplasticity. And the work of integrating our memories, the work of integrating our left and right brain, the work of integrating our emotions with our intuition and our intellect are all part of becoming more whole people. But it's also a spiritual practice. When I was a chaplain at St. Anthony North Hospital when it was still in Westminster, I worked alongside Brother Donald, who is a Jesuit brother studying to be a priest. And he did a daily examine every noon at lunch and then when he went home. It was a way of remembering the day, taking notice, becoming aware, so that he could integrate that into his life. And so as a part of our practice today, our part of our prayer today, I invite you into your own daily examine. I will lead us through that, and I welcome you to pray as it makes sense. If you want to close your eyes, if you want to look at the candles or the altar flowers, the image on the screen, wherever. But know that this is a moment where you can be intentional about your awareness. And so we come to our daily examine and consider the people that we interact with. Consider the people that you see on a daily basis or very often. Now think about those you see regularly, but are not in your immediate family. They could be folks at the gym, or work, or in your book club. Consider the people that you meet spontaneously within your community, the store clerk, librarian, barista, mail carrier. And finally, think about those that you have a distant interaction with. Maybe it's a newscaster on the TV, a sponsor child, a relative that you don't connect with often. These may be people that you talk to or you may not, but somehow this is a person that you notice. In this moment of reflection, reflect on how you relate to each of these persons. What memories have you shared with them? How have you felt uplifted by the other, hurt, or ignored? How do they inform your story? We move our awareness now into the activities that we partake in. There are the activities that we always do. Maybe it's making dinner, picking up kids, reading the newspaper, going for a walk. Now think about the activities that you sometimes do. Grocery shop, visit a friend, bake cookies. And finally, what are the activities that you do rarely but intentionally? Vacation, handwrite a letter, go out to eat with other people, paint, watch the sunrise, roller skate, visit a museum. Bringing your awareness to these activities, wonder to yourself, who do you encounter with each of these activities? You can reflect on what activities bring you gratitude. What other sensations exist in your moving about? And finally, what features stick out at you? Holy and gracious God, as we go about this daily examine, becoming aware ever more of your presence and our particular human presence in our everyday life, open our eyes and open our hearts. Help us become aware of the spheres that we inhabit, radiating out like ripples on a lake, so that we might take notice of the features the people, the activities that call to us and elicit thanksgiving, a prayer of petition, a prayer of connecting with you. Maybe we see ourselves nestled in the heart of the community, or deeply caring for a family member or loved one, or thinking intently on an idea or subject. Through this ancient practice of the Jesuits, O God, we ask that we recognize your essence and intention, God, in our whole experience. And may this awareness, may this act of integration be a divine act which moves us to see with care and intention as you do. We lift up all of these things, as well as those that have been spoken aloud, offering them back to you and praying in your Son's name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll invite you to stand as you're able for our next hymn.
As we integrate all of our thoughts and all of the people and all of our experiences, we acknowledge the need for those gifts not only to be given to us, but also the need for us to give the gifts that we have. And as the ushers come forward, let today be a day of giving from our hearts.
Watching over me, my Lord, all night, all day.
Lord God, we pray that these gifts would be lifted up to you, multiplied in your presence, used to counteract hateful ideologies. Strengthen us in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and give voice and favor to all your people. Let our gifts be these we offer and these we have still in our possession, our hearts, our lives, and our gifts, through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation printed in your bulletin. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Our scripture today is from Romans 12, verses 1 through 5. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Okay.
I'm sorry, there's just a particular thing here that I could.
Okay.
Thank you for this.
All right. I'll begin again. Romans 12, verses 1 through 5. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of this body. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, choir. And thank you, Chris, for that random last-minute reading. You did a fabulous job. I so appreciate it. By the time I was 17, I realized that I thought I would be a pastor or a missionary. See, I had done a lot of traveling at mission trips when I was a youth person and was excited by that life, but I also had some opportunities to preach and do some leading within my church and felt rather at home there, as well as called. I had this high school way of saying, I want to be an inspiration to inspire other people to inspire other people. It was my high school version of the Great Commission. Disciples, go make disciples, right? I also liked to talk about God a lot, and I thought talking about God would be fun, and I'm a nerd, so there you go. Well, I went off to college and decided to major in theology and theater. A little fun, a little study, a little play, a little seriousness, and I eventually realized that I just got bogged down in all of the talking about God and theory. It felt a little claustrophobic, especially on my Spokane, Washington campus. We had what was considered the pine cone curtain around us. All these huge pine trees protecting us or isolating us from the world. Now, there were lots of people who did better than I at risking into the neighborhood. There are folks that went downtown to serve teenagers wrestling with homelessness. There are others who worked with young life groups, sort of youth groups within a school. There were people who even lived in Central America for an entire semester. I was a Girl Scout leader, troop leader for a year, and then I moved into other joy-infused activities. I was a track athlete throughout college. I sung on my praise band at church, and I did school. Remember, I'm a nerd? Well, all of that came to a head when I was a junior in college. It was a spring day, and in one of my larger lecture classes, we watched the movie Hotel Rwanda. Who is familiar with that movie or its content? This movie is about the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. And all of a sudden, my world, that felt rather small, exploded. Here I was in these red plush seats in an air-conditioned building, and something like that was happening in front of me. My world could no longer be that small. It expanded and was actually crying out for me to be a part of it. Something shifted within me. There was a couple other opportunities for that shift to take place. Every week we were invited to go to chapel if we wanted, and every week they served communion. And there's nothing like the dense white dough that just melts in your mouth to make you remember that the body of Christ resides within you. It was powerful for me, and it was very much tangible in my life. That was another shift. And then finally, I had an opportunity to be a part of an ordination service. Being a Presbyterian school, the chaplain in our area was called to that university, and therefore she was ordained in that place. So I got to witness this woman being ordained, called into serving and ministry in this very particular place, and it shifted me yet again. All of these pieces came together in a way that I wasn't quite expecting. Paul says that we should fix our attention on God. He says you'll be changed from the inside out. Really recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. God brings the best out of you. God develops well-informed maturity in you. You see, early on in my journey to live out God's vocation, I fell into isolation and I lacked integration, both in myself as well as with my community. In his book, What Are We Fighting For? By United Methodist Bishop Bickerton, It's a book that we are sharing together as a church, and their devotional books are available as well out in the narthex. He talks about how isolation and integration calls out a spiritual problem, along with lack of inspiration, a desire for complete independence rather than interdependence, and missing chances to invite others to join us in this spiritual journey. Isolation and lacking integration represent spiritual problems vexing us in our lives as Christians. Now, these five I's can find parallels in our society as a whole, but they can truly warp away the glue and the trust and the integrity of the body of Christ. Since Lent is a time to reflect and consider our Christian walk with Jesus Christ through the desert, alongside the poor, broken, and despised, and to the cross, I believe the value of integration and connection in community will call us to the restorative practices of confession, lament, forgiveness, and new life. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God." This is an active thing, right? We're not just the peace receivers. We're creating peace. We're creating shalom, the Hebrew word that really means the fullness of human life. And we do this creating, this making of peace, when we step into the tensions, the gaps that exist between what we really hope for and the reality that surrounds us. It's in this gap where we find that our life together matters so much. So will you pray with me? We turn to fix our attention on you, O God. Change us on the inside. Help us know our unique part of the whole, finding meaning and claiming our responsibilities in our particularities. Weave each of us with care into Christ's body as you envision, for the wholeness of each one here and all of creation. Amen. Now, we can recognize the why and how integration and community matter when we turn to the Holy Trinity and to St. Patrick. I shared St. Patrick's story already with the kids, but I wanted to really hone in on this idea of the Trinity, because each of these persons informs the other and creates a whole picture. When we partner with God, the Creator, we are given purpose and passion and power by Jesus Christ the Savior, and then we're guided by the Holy Spirit to those who are needed, who need help and healing, and we are returned back to God. In a similar way, we can be infused with the Holy Spirit as we seek to make the kingdom of God, following Jesus' example as a human and living out our essence as God's children in the world. This is an informed picture. It's a relationship that we find ourselves in as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, and it's a model for us to be. Bishop Bickerton points to this expression of connection and integration when he concludes that we might have a spiritual problem when we lack such qualities. So let's consider those words, integration and isolation. When we consider the word integration, Bickerton is looking at the way Sunday, the meaning that we find at church, weaves into Monday through Saturday. He's looking at closing the gap of belief and behavior with creativity and purpose. See, each of us has unique gifts and talents, a purpose, and a creative way to express and build that bridge with intentionality. Isolation speaks to the way we can hermit ourselves away from one another and the inner workings of our community, whether the community be a church, a neighborhood, our nation, or the world. We create our own pine cone curtain, if you will. Bishop Bickerton states that isolation limits development, but can be rectified with opportunities of relationship. So many possibilities exist when integrated with God and others with integrity. First, we gain perspective. Others give us perspective. Now, jokes are not always my forte, but I recognize that humor is essential to our well-being. That's in part why I married my husband. It's also why I asked Steve for help on this next part. He has a knack for jokes that I don't quite have, and that gives me perspective in a new way. So let me give it a try. Why do leprechauns hate running? They would rather jig than jog. Okay. How do you tell an Irishman is having a good time? He's doubling over with laughter. And my favorite, what happens if you cross poison ivy with a four-leaf clover? You get a rash of good luck. You don't want to wash that away too fast, okay? So this opened my perspective, right? When we are integrated with one another, we have a larger perspective. And integration and connection with community also leads to collaboration. Bickerton points out that collaboration is not about agreement on any one position, but an expression of vulnerability. It's an expression of giving yourself over to another and receiving from another. Collaboration is an expression of vulnerability. The third possibility in this work of integration and connecting is a crafted and renewed vision. Vision needs context of community to thrive. And finally, growth of and in community comes when we're integrated and connected. We are all a work in progress, and thus we need companions for our journey. There's no one self-made person. Others leave their mark. Such is true of John Wesley. He was an Anglican priest in England during the 18th century and believed that his ministry could be utilized in America. So he joined some of the other ministers that were there in the forming colonies of America and decided to share his ideas about God. Well, on the boat ride over, he traveled with a group of Moravians. These were pious Christians, and they got stuck in the storm. Well, John Wesley acted very much like the disciples did. He got really afraid. He got anxious. He called out for God. And then he looked over at the Moravians, and they were singing hymns. They were praising God, and they were praying. And all of a sudden, he wondered if he knew Jesus at all. Well, he landed in America. He tried to do some of his work, but this doubt resided within him, and he didn't see that he was being effective. So he made his way back to England and connected again with this small group where he could find accountability, where he could study and pray together and seek God's wisdom in Scripture. And finally, one night at Aldersgate, he felt his heart strangely warmed. It was the warmth of God's assurance saying, I am for you, I am in you, I am with you. It's good. Be assured that I am your God and that you are doing the work I have called you to do. In this moment, John also recalled the Moravians and the assurance that he saw so plainly on their face and in their attitude. At that moment, he recognized that he needed that boat trip with these folks to know that God was calling him to a deeper, more mature Christian walk. Now, all of this might sound methodical, theoretical in practice, you know, great possibilities if we think about it. But I want to say that they are incarnated. These ideas can take on flesh and, in fact, have their particularities in specific lives of people that we know. Bonnie Strand shared a story about Frank, a friend and neighbor who got picked up. He was considered not one of us, not supposed to be here. Frank was alone. Bonnie shared this news with the Strangers as Neighbors United Methodist Women's Study Group. She shared that Frank had spent the last 20 years growing and cultivating a landscaping business while caring for his family, a wife, three grown children, and an eighth grade daughter. In efforts to convey his meaning and value to her and her community, Bonnie wrote letters to the court. See, Frank had been held in custody at the Aurora Detention Center for being an illegal immigrant, or an immigrant in general, or just him. And he was silenced, but Bonnie had a voice. She wrote in part, "I have known Frank for many years, introduced to him by my next door neighbors. Frank has done work for me in my yard, both simple lawn mowing as well as more complex tasks, such as building garden beds and modifying the watering system. Over the years, I've gotten to know his kids, and he's gotten to know mine. I've shared garden produce with him, and he and his wife shared homemade tamales with us at New Year's. I feel that if I needed something and called Frank, he would give me the shirt off his back. He has that kind of generous spirit." Other members of Strangers as Neighbors group wrote letters too. They had never met Frank, but they felt that somehow Frank was a strand already woven into their community. They wanted to support him and his family, and yet the situation felt so bleak. In their creative efforts, they turned to the United Methodist Women magazine, which in that particular issue talked about immigration. And there it mentioned resources and connection points just on the other side of the border where those deported could get support. They would have medical facilities, schools, support, stores, connections to others. And if nothing else, the people from Mountain View would give Frank and his family this magazine and say, "The United Methodists will meet you on the other side with a welcome." Well, the day of the trial finally arrived, the last Monday of February. After months of being detained, Frank would either be free or deported. And in the midst of this was the uncertainty of what his family would do. His wife and daughter had documentation while he did not. So they struggled with trying to decide what to do. Would they stay together as a family in Mexico, in the United States? Would they be separated? Meanwhile, the lawyer called Bonnie on Sunday afternoon and said, "You know, it might be worthwhile for you to show up. And anyone that you can bring to show up and stand up for Frank." So the day of the trial came and the judge asked Frank to stand. She asked those who came with Frank to stand. And Bonnie and Glenn and Trudy Gigi stood along with his family. She heard his story. The judge saw the community surrounding him. And the judge gave Frank his green card. This is a witness of God at work through people partnering with the holy with very particular hands, very particular hearts, integrated and connected with one another. The United Methodist Church gave hope in a hopeless situation at a global level. The people of Mountain View United Methodist Church made a difference at a local level. And to Frank, God showed up in a very particular person, and her intentional integration of her Christian faith with her community. Brothers and sisters, as we look to God, allowing the Holy Trinity to stir within us, to develop maturity within our hearts, to name each one of us as a vital part of a vital whole, recognizing that that whole informs each of us, I pray for the world to be ready. If we truly live integrated lives, dwelling with one another for shalom, the fullness of humanity, the fullness of the world will take us all by surprise. I pray it will be so this day and evermore. Amen. I'll invite us to sing now together, Take My Life and Let It Be, number 399. And sisters, you are called to be one with the Trinity and to go with your life in its particularities into the world, that you might bridge those gaps with love. Go with God's peace and mercy this day, knowing that you are hands and feet and that you matter to the whole. Go in God's grace. Amen.